Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. Matthew 5 and verse number 1. We have been on a journey with the Sermon on the Mount. And what wonderful things we have learned. And tonight is going to be no less. Tell your neighbor, tonight's kind of tough, but it's true. Tell somebody next to you, pastor's talking about you tonight. I think we're talking about all of us every night, aren't we? If the word's being preached, it's about me. Amen. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we have studied about all of these. And the next one in line that we're going to talk about here tonight, in God's timing is always so awesome. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Why don't you turn and look at your neighbor and ask him, are you a troublemaker? Or a peacemaker? Ask somebody else. Look at him. Are you a troublemaker? How many of y'all know a troublemaker? I'm going to tell you what. I hadn't said this in a while, but I feel it in the spirit. The devil is riled up tonight. He's tried so many ways already. And you know I don't give glory to the devil. 99% of the things we say is the devil, it's just you. But there is a devil. And he certainly can get riled up. And he knows what the Lord wants to speak here tonight. If just this group right here tonight can get a hold of this, it'll change this church, and we'll change our city. I don't want to be a troublemaker. I want to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Lord, wonderful people have gathered here tonight, filled with your spirit, baptized in your name. But oh God, we need help. We need your word to change us. I want to be called a child of God. Want other men to look at me and say, that is surely a child of God. I pray that about every individual in this building tonight, that somehow we would learn to be a peacemaker. I ask it in the wonderful, mighty name of the Lord. Anoint us, touch us, and speak to us through your word here this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. What a great journey we have been taking. Real fast, just looking at a few things here. We find that Jesus begins to teach this Sermon on the Mount. And he deals in the beginning of this message about how to be blessed. We find out that this blessing is not just a casual blessing that you might feel in an altar sometime when you pray, but this was a supreme blessing. To be blissfully elated is what the word means. To be overcome by the blessings of God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful experience? To get up in the morning and go through the day and you can't hardly function. Not because you're nervous or because you're worried or because you're tired, but because you're overwhelmed by the blessings of God. Wouldn't that be awesome? The way that works is when you're about doing the work of the Father, then the blessings are going to be on you. When we want to be overwhelmed by the blessings of God, then we need to be extremely active in the work of God and in the kingdom of God. We learn that blessed are the poor in spirit. That word there means someone who totally depends upon someone else for everything. So blessed are those of us that God is our total source of provision. Praise God. Hallelujah. That we have the revelation that even though we are surrounded by things, we understand that these things come from God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We learn that the greatest mourning that could ever come upon anyone is when they recognize that they are a sinner and they mourn for forgiveness. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When we are done wrong, when things are said about us or come against us, we are not to revile, but we are to have a spirit of meekness. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We looked at three categories. Those that came to Jesus were so hungry and thirsty, they would not give up themselves. Those that were brought to Jesus, hungry and thirsty, that the church will not give up on you. And those whom Jesus came to, that he will not give up on you. Blessed are the merciful. Let my life be found here, God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You are to go around looking for the opportunity to show mercy. Because when you show mercy, mercy is going to be shown to you. Mercy is important for us, but it's also important for others. We studied on that. We looked at that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That word pure there, it means to be undefiled, unpolluted, to be singular, one ingredient. Blessed are those whom their heart totally and completely seeks after God. That there is no other lust or desire in me. God is everything. Everything I do, everything I touch, everything I think about, every desire I have, it's wrapped around him. Pure in heart, singular in heart, focused in spirit and in mind. Blessed are the pure in heart. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. So the next in line here is, blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. Who's going to call them the children of God? Well, the Father will, of course, but the Lord is speaking about the world. There are several things in the Bible that God identifies, that He points out, that when others see this, they will identify you as a child of God. Another one of those would be that when we have love one to another, when we love one another, the world will identify you as a son of God, a child of God. And here He does it again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Of course, this word is sort of straightforward in its definition. A peacemaker is a maker of peace. Someone say maker. Say a doer of peace. Now watch me. The Bible didn't say blessed are the peaceable. Blessed is the one who the peaceable men or women. No, blessed are the peacemakers. This is more than just you being at peace. It's more than just you staying out of trouble, if I can say it that way. It's beyond that. It's talking about a peacemaker. It's talking about someone who becomes a mediator, someone who steps in trouble and brings peace to the situation. Someone who finds discord and says, I'm going to find a way to remove the discord and bring the peace of God into this situation. I think, though, if we will be honest with ourselves, if we find ourselves more often on the other side of that coin rather than the one who finds trouble and brings peace, we're the one who finds peace and finds a way to bring trouble. By what we say and what we do and how we handle things. But God's kingdom is different. God's children are different. When you're a child of God, when you look into the world or you look into the church or amongst your brothers and sisters, and you might find strife and you might find a little trouble, you don't add to that. You don't feed on that. You don't encourage that. You say, God, give me wisdom. Show me how to step into the middle of this and bring peace. Because I want to save my brother. I want to save my sister. Peacemaker, not troublemaker. Romans 10 and 15. You're going to stay with me tonight? It's going to get tough, but you got to love me anyway. You got to love the word anyway. Amen? All right, let's ride. Romans 10 and 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Is it on the screen? When I stop, you start. That preach the gospel of this. Gospel is based on peace. I know God brings, this gospel brings division and trouble to the world. I understand that, but that's those that reject it. But I'm here to tell you, if you accept it, this is a gospel of peace. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Friend, when you got this gospel, you can be peaceful in a troubled world.
When you've got this gospel, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You're able to live at peace. And when you're living at peace, you can bring peace to others. You can't give something to others you don't have yourself.
All right, let's try to lay a foundation here. Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ and is acceptable to God and approved of men. What did the Lord say? He said the peacemakers shall be called the children of God. Men will approve of you because they watch you and they say your nature, your character, your ways are not like the ways of the world. There's something different about you. You're not stirring something up. You're calming something down. You're not adding fuel to the fire. You're finding a way to put it out. You're a peacemaker. You're a soul lover. Come on, help me. I know it hurts, but don't let the devil get a hold of you. Now look how serious and powerful this is. For the kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. And joy in the Holy Ghost. You lose your peace, you lose your joy. For he, watch this, for he that is in these things, what things? In righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He that is in these things serveth Christ. When you deliver trouble, when you stir things up, you're not serving God, you're serving yourself. You're vindicating yourself. You're serving the adversary. Those that are in these things, righteousness and peace and joy, they serve God and they are acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. You want to be the child of God? You've got to learn to quit tearing your brother down. You got to learn to quit talking about your brother. You can't hate your brother. You can't speak against your brother. The Bible says, if you can't love your brother who you see, don't fool yourself. You are not a lover of God. You're a lover of self. Who happens to be in a religion. God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace. And if you find yourself caught up in something that advocates non-peace, trouble, then you need to shake yourself and say, I'm in the middle of something that's not of God. Whether I've got to fix it or fix myself or just remove myself from it. Whatever may have to be done, I need to get busy taking care of it because what I'm in right now is not of God. Because it promotes trouble and worry and anguish and anxiety and division and discord rather than love and peace. I wish somebody helped the preacher. So what is a peacemaker? Peacemaker, remember, it's not someone who just sits in their corner peaceable. No. You are a peacemaker. You are someone who strives to prevent contention. Now I can just stop right there because most of us live in the opposite of that. We live in contention.
We're always in contention with someone. A brother, an uncle, a friend, an aunt, a cousin, a dog. We're always mad at something. In contention. A peacemaker is someone who is eagerly, purposely trying to prevent contention, strife, or war. One whose influence is to reconcile those who are opposing one another rather than adding to the fight. To prevent hostilities, family problems, neighborhood wars. Lord, I don't know where this is going to go, but if my neighborhood watches this, I'll probably be kicked out. There's only 6 homes in my neighborhood, and there ain't a one of them get along with one another. They all call Dan. They won't talk to one another. Say they call Dan. They say, Dan, would you talk to so-and-so and tell them such and such? I certainly will. I certainly will. We used to have board meetings, and they'd almost end up in a fist fight. It's crazy. So we started having them at my house so we could have a little peace. I'm like, surely they won't fight here. Hopefully. I used to tell my wife, I said, I pastor 3 churches. I pastor the Pentecostal, the Palm Beaches. I can't remember what the second one was. And then the third one was, and I pastor Pine Hollow. And they don't even pay tithes or give offerings. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write them a letter, tell them you owe tithe and offering. Or you on your own. Y'all going to kill one another, so you better step up. You want me to stay in the middle of all this mess. But here's the beauty about it. Here's the beauty, not just me, but it wouldn't matter who it would be. It would be the fact that they recognized something. That they said, hey, there's a peacemaker. We can work through him. And that's how God expects his church to be. That people that may be in a quandary of some kind, but if you show up, all of a sudden they'll start talking to you. Don't get offended about that. They recognize a peacemaker. They'll say, hey, what do you think about this? Or how do you think we ought to do this? And be careful how you answer, because you'll probably make an enemy. Peacemaker. Everybody say peacemaker. There's a real good chance none of my neighbors will see this. No one is more like God than when we are working towards peace. Now, you have to be willing to receive peace and be transformed. You got to be a peace receiver if you're going to be a peace diffuser. Shall be the children of God. Why? Because the image of God is being reflected out of your life when you are striving to make peace amongst the brethren. Making peace doesn't always come easy. Colossians 1 and 20. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, God looked down there and he saw a world that was at one another's throats. He saw a world that was full of lust and envy and strife and anger and hatred and bitterness and jealousy and all of these different spirits of humanity, spirits of man that were roaming and moving
and ripping a world apart, and his very nature was peace. And God said, I've got to bring peace to the world. How am I going to do that? It's not always easy. Sometimes you have to sacrifice in order to bring peace to your family. You have to personally sacrifice in order to bring peace to the job. You have to personally sacrifice in order to bring peace between a brother and a brother, or a sister and a sister, or a family and a family. You've got to do something a little extraordinary, because you are a peacemaker. That means you do something to make it happen. God saw this world torn apart. He got up off his throne. He came down in the flesh. He gave his life on a cross so that he could bring peace. Now, if he was willing to die on the cross to bring peace to humanity, those that are willing to receive it, how do you think he feels when we sow discord amongst the brethren? No wonder the Bible says it's one of the seven things God hates. He's not just a little upset with it. He hates it. Like throwing his blood back at his face. It's your way of saying, I don't care about his soul. I don't care about her soul. You're not a peacemaker, you're a troublemaker. Well, ask your neighbor again. I don't know. Ask him. You're a troublemaker? See how quiet it is now? And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to do what? To reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes an alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. How is that done? By bringing peace. For God to make peace, it cost him his life. But he was willing to absorb the blame of the sin of men in order to present you unblameable. That's what that word says. God says, I'm going to bring peace between you and a righteous God. There's a righteous God up here that's ready to kill you because you are a sinner. But the man Christ Jesus stepped in the middle and said, I'm going to be a peacemaker. And it's going to cost me my blood. It's going to cost me my life. But it's worth it. I'm going to present you unblameable. That's what peacemakers do. They step into trouble and they find a way to bring two back together who were so opposing of one another, removing the blame, even if they have to take it upon themselves. And so they are called the children of God. Worship the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to stop and examine ourselves and ask ourselves a very serious question. Am I a peacemaker? When people hang around me, do they come together? Do they fellowship better? Do they get to know one another? Is there love amongst us? Or when they hang around me for a little while, do we end up in odds and ends? Do I put fuel on the fire? Damning a soul who cannot handle it. Proverbs 17 and 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. I'm going to tell you what that verse means by giving you a cliche. An ounce of provision is worth a pound of cure. That's what that verse means. The moment you see something starting, you step in and begin to make peace. Don't you add to it. Don't you fuel because you think they're going to like you a little more. They're going to think good of you because you're taking their side. You are destroying a soul. You are meddling with something that God hates. It's an abomination to him. We have to examine our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, our actions, everything about us. And we have to ask ourselves the question, am I a peacemaker? When I show up on the scene, when I open my mouth, do I bring peace and calm, or does the fire just get a little hotter? Or do we all just laugh around the table? Or do we all just add our little comments to it and watch the sparks fly to the right and to the left? Or do we just eat on our brother, eat on our sister, devour, the Bible says. Paul said, be careful lest you devour one another. What does he mean by that? He says, when you get through devouring that brother, you've released such a spirit, you better watch out because somebody's going to devour you. Or do we walk into a situation and bring love and bring peace? When there's strife between a family, between a brother and a sister, a brother, brother, sister, sister, strife between family members, maybe not even in the church, whatever the case is. I want to tell you, you can be a peacemaker when you have God in you. If you will let God flow through you, you can step into any situation, whether they're saved or unsaved. I'm telling you, you can be a peacemaker in every situation you find yourself in. And then you'll be called child of God. Children of God who resemble God. Who manifests a spirit like his. And the Bible says he is the what? Author. Right? Of peace. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints. So if you're messed up in something in the church, if you're a part of something that is not conducive to peace, God's not the author. And if God's not the author, that means man's the author. Or Satan is the author. And if man's the author, Satan will be on board pretty soon. Colossians 3 and 13. Are we doing okay? We're doing all right? All right, come on. Stay with Pastor. I've been listening to this series. I know I mentioned it to you about Brother Readout. 25 hours worth of learning how to forgive. Who would ever think it would take 25 hours to learn how to forgive? And just when I think there's nothing else for me to learn, he hits me right up aside the head. Something else. You know, my dog got sick a few days ago, and so he don't want his little medicine. So you got to hold him down, open his mouth up. You got to put it on your finger, and you got to shove it down his throat. And then you close his mouth and hold his nose. I want to keep holding it. But I let go when he swallows. And then he'll swallow. I wish God would do that with us. Just hold us down and take this that I'm preaching here tonight, or all 25 hours of that lesson on forgiveness, and just shove it down your throat. I wish it worked that way. Boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Colossians says this. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man, say any man, have a quarrel against, say it, say anybody, there are no justifications. Did you hear me?
there are no justifications. There are no excuses or exceptions. Say it with me. There are no exceptions. I'm here to save you if you'll let me. I'm here to save myself while I'm at it. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. I needed God to forgive me today. Today. I asked God in prayer today. I thought of some of you, and then I had to pray. And I asked God to forgive me every day that I live. I need God to forgive me. And that book says, you want forgiveness? Forgive. Is it in the book? And he said, I don't care who it is. Why don't you put yourself to this challenge? I got a challenge for us. This is a good challenge. You got somebody that you have to forgive repetitively, over and over, for whatever reason. Here's your challenge. Go ahead and ask the question, when do I stop? You know, they asked that question to Jesus. Do I forgive them 7 times? And the Lord said, hey, why don't we shoot for 7 times 70? 490 times a day over the same thing. Let's shoot for that. What do you say? But here's your challenge. However many times you would like for God to forgive you, that's how many times you choose to forgive that brother. However many times he or she comes against you. No exceptions. If any man have a quarrel with any, no exceptions. Forgive them as Christ has forgiven you. You know what that makes you? It makes you a peacemaker. You don't care if they're wrong. You don't care how they've treated you. You don't care what they said. It doesn't matter, because my viewpoint is not what you did to me. My viewpoint is I need God's forgiveness in my life. Every day that I live, I need God's forgiveness in my life. And so that's my viewpoint with you. So yes, I am going to forgive you, and I'm going to be happy about it. Put your hands together for the Lord. All right, let's continue. We're commanded to live in peace. Living in peace is not an option. Now, it does say, if be possible. There are some crazy people out there. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And you will take that verse and you will literally use that verse as an excuse to hate some people. This gives me room to hate some people. Or not to make peace with some people. That's how you will interpret it. Is there anything impossible with God? So if you desire to make peace, he will give you the strength and the ability to make peace. Now, here's what this verse means. What it means is you may attempt to make peace with someone, but they don't want peace. They refuse peace. So God understands that you're not going to be buddy-buddy and elbow bumping, right, with everybody. But he does not excuse you to forgive them. If any man have quarrel with any, let him forgive them as Christ forgave you. That's what the Bible says. It's not about you not finding peace in your heart. You don't have that choice. If you're going to be a child of God, you're going to be a peacemaker, and you're going to make peace in your heart, and you're going to have peace towards that individual. They may not want to live in peace. God's not saying you have to go run around with them and have a good time with them, but you must love them, forgive them, and live in peace with them. Finally, brethren, farewell, Paul says. I'm out of here. Be perfect, be of good comfort. I can't even get past that be perfect part, but let's continue. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Hebrews 12 and 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, we use that verse all the time to preach about holiness, but there's another part to that verse that says you're not going to see God if you live unholy. But guess what? You're not going to see God if you live unpeaceful. Follow peace with all men, without which no man shall see God. How can you see the God of peace if you're not willing to live in peace? If you're not willing to be a peacemaker rather than a troublemaker? I'm going to tell you who you make trouble for. You make trouble for me. That's why I'm preaching this. Because I'm paid to be a peacemaker. I'm your pastor. That's right. So when you stir stuff up, it's my job, my obligation. I got to step in there and fix your mess to the best I can. Oh, boy, I almost said something I can't. This Facebook thing kills me. It's probably saving you, though. Romans 8 and 6. Here we are. You ready? I'm telling you right now, Romans 8 and 6 is where you live. If you are not at peace, this is where you are. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Troublemakers are carnal people. You're carnal. You're carnal in your spirit, in your thinking, in your mind. I don't care how you dress. I don't care how long you've been coming to church. Whether you pay your tithes and give your offerings and make sacrifices. I don't care. If you stir things up in lives and in families and amongst people, and if you talk and backbite and speak and put your nose where it doesn't belong, you are a troublemaker and you are carnal. And what we need to do is pray through. Now, God put this in timing. God did this, not me. I didn't jump verses. I'm following verses. I'm just next in line. James chapter 3, verse number 16. My God. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. When you are not a peacemaker, you are a troublemaker. You are not neutral. There is no such thing with neutral in God. You know what God does with neutral? He spits it out. He vomits it. You're either a peacemaker or a troublemaker for yourself or somebody else. Boy, don't y'all wish we had another guest preach? Don't y'all wish I'd asked Brother Lumen to preach tonight? I almost did, but It's been too long since I beat on you. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion. It's 8:15, but I'm going to finish this tonight. There is confusion and every evil work. You are opening the door for the devil to perform every evil work in your life. He will destroy your marriage. He will destroy your children. He will destroy your health. He will destroy your finances. Your bitterness will go into your kids and they will come, they will be just like you. Faithful church members who are sowers of discord. But they can be the opposite of that. They can be faithful church members who are peacemakers. Peacemakers amongst the young people. Peacemakers amongst the young adults. Peacemakers amongst the elders. Everywhere as we go. Listen, offense is going to come. The Bible says it's going to come. Things are going to happen. People are going to get upset. Misunderstandings are going to come. It's going to happen. It's why the church has got to be full of peacemakers, not people that add to it and feed from that. You open the door up for every evil work in your life. Is that what you want? I guarantee you, I don't want my attitude and spirit to be my kids' attitude and spirit. Because I know Dan Kyle way too well. So I do everything I can to be a peacemaker so I can at least fake them out. And maybe they'll be a peacemaker. Envy and strife is there, confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then God's wisdom brings peace. It doesn't bring division, envy, and strife, and confusion. It brings peace. It's gentle, easy to be treated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. James 3:18. And the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. They are peacemakers. Philippians says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, whatsoever things are pure or lovely, or a good report, virtue, if there's any praise, then think on these. Be a peacemaker. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying, I know there's all kinds of stuff out there to think on. There's envy, there's strife, there's hatred, there's all hurt feeling, there's all kinds of stuff out there you can dwell on that's wrong. Paul said, don't think on these things. They're going to make you a troublemaker. Think on the pure and the good and the right and the righteous and the godly and the gentle and the peaceful. If your mind will dwell on these things, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. So as a man thinketh, so is he. It'll flow out of your mouth. Where the mouth speaketh, as the heart is thinking. God have me. So think on these things, and when you speak, even though your flesh may want to add to the situation, God's going to come out, and you're going to begin to speak peace and joy. And come on, you're going to say, come on, this isn't what it really looks like. Let's just pray about it. Let's lift it up to God right now, and the power of God will come down. He'll wash all that junk away, and oh, the souls that will be saved, and the trouble that will be spared, and pastor's hair will stay black for another year. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He rules over peace. He doesn't rule over discord. He doesn't rule over violence. He doesn't rule over division. He rules over peace. Let's stand. I go any further, I crush us all. Let's make our way down to the altar, if you will, for just a couple of minutes tonight. It's 8:20. I know Pastor went a little longer than normal. Let's make our way down to the altar. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us. I hope that nobody stays in your seat unless you just can't walk. I hope the whole congregation comes. Please don't be a troublemaker. Don't clog up my aisles. Let's come down. Listen, I'm not preaching on forgiveness tonight. The Lord may lead us to do that in the future, but I understand sometimes it can be difficult to forgive. I do. I've had people hurt me deeply, hurt my children deeply. But I'm going to tell you what, lack of forgiveness flows through carnality. And what's really going on is I'm in the flesh. I'm thinking carnal, acting carnal. I'm viewing things carnally. And we have to say that. Say, we have to. See, there's no exceptions. There's no, but you don't know. No, I don't. But God knows, and He's the one that said. He's the one that said. Every man, if any man have a quarrel with any, there are no exceptions. Forgive them as Christ. Does anybody here feel like God's forgiven you of anything lately? So He's saying, give to that person what I have given to you. Freely receive. You know the parable, right? The rich man forgives the guy for $100 million. Then he goes out and he won't forgive the poor guy for a dollar. So the rich man brings him back and said, I had forgiven all your debt, but I am restoring your debt. I don't know about you. I don't want God restoring nothing on this old boy. It's gone, and I want it to stay gone. And I have a guaranteed way of making that happen. Guaranteed. And all I have to do is be a peacemaker. And forgive and promote unity and peace amongst the brethren. So we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord to help us be peacemakers. I barely scratched the surface on this subject. I encourage you to do your own study, devour the Word of God in this area. Do you know how many souls you can save by being a peacemaker? By just stepping into the middle of a problem and instead of adding to the situation, you know, your little comments. Because you are so wise. God ain't got nothing on you. You're so brilliant. Step into that. I know I'm being sarcastic. Little Kyle coming out. But step into that situation and begin to sow peace. You can literally save two people by bringing them back together. Because they can't be saved. I ain't even got to that yet. I don't want to make that statement without 3 hours to clarify it. All right, so we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to help us, not make us. You have to make yourself a peacemaker. The only thing God does that you can't do is forgive you and wash away your sins. Saves you. After that, you have to do everything, but He helped you. but he helps you. So I want to be a peacemaker. So my prayer is, God, that you're going to help me turn me into a peacemaker. This is what I want, that every time we hear a little ism or a schism, instantly to be a peacemaker comes out. Come on, brother. Whoa. It's not that bad. Come on, let's pray about it right now. Huh? Would that change everything? God, we come to you right now in the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for these wonderful people that are in this building tonight. As their shepherd, Lord, their under shepherd, I come before you, Father. I stand before you. And I ask you to help us. Help us, Lord, to be molded into a peacemaker. That this spirit will come alive in us. That God, when we see trouble, when we hear trouble, when we see discord, when we hear about discord, when we, Lord, when anything is there amongst our brethren or whoever it may be, that we, Lord, we pray about it. We seek you, God, on how we might be a peacemaker in this situation, how we might be able to bring it together the way that it needs to be. And Father, I call to you right now. I'm asking for your help. We need your help. Oh God, help us to step out of our flesh, out of our carnality. Help us not to walk, God, in the flesh, but in the spirit. Because when we walk in the spirit, God, we walk in peace. We bring peace to the brethren. We bring peace to situations. We become peacemakers. And Lord, that's what I want every individual that's in this building to become. God, that you'll cleanse our minds, our hearts, and our spirits. And Lord, that you'll help us. Father, I pray and I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us tonight. God, we got to have your strength. God, we got to have your might upon this. We got to have your word and your wisdom. Give us revelation through the word of God. How shall a man change his ways? David said, but through the word of God. Oh, let me learn of it through the word of God. Let me get it in my heart through the word of God. Turn me into a peacemaker, oh God. Oh, Jesus, I want to be called the child of God. I want to be known as a child of God. Oh, Lord, let it be seen from my love for my brother to bring peace, oh God, to the kingdom. Peace to situations, God. Make us a peacemaker, God. It is my prayer. It is our 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 prayer, God. It is our prayer. It is our prayer. It is our prayer. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. Magnify your name tonight, God. We magnify your name tonight. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, God. God, give us the strength to change. Let us change in the power of your spirit, in the presence of your glory. Hallelujah. Touch our lips with the coals of righteousness. Touch our tongues, oh, God. Such a small member, yet kindle us such a great fire. Oh, Jesus. Praise God. You know, the tongue is powerful. The Bible says there's life and death in the tongue. Did you get that? There's life and death. So that means just as much as you use your tongue to sow discord, you can use your tongue to sow peace. Because there's life in the tongue. And that's what I want us to focus on. There's life in the tongue. And when I open up my mouth, God, make me a peacemaker. When I open my mouth, let my tongue produce life. Amen. One more time, let's worship the Lord. God, we thank you for your word tonight. We love you, we praise you, we adore you. Blessed is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Father. Praise you, Jesus. All right, I want you to find five people and tell them, I am a peacemaker. Tell them, I am a peacemaker. What's that song? Peace. Maker. Is that a song?
I promise Todd I could call it Maker.
Come on, girl. Come on, girl.